Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nazir Daf Nun Aleph. We begin at the very top line, very first word, Tanur Rabbon. Following Braisa was taught in the Beis Medrash. Tanur Rabbon, Ezu Meiz Shiesh Lo Rekib. We had discussed in the Mishnah that a Nazir has to do a Taglachas Tuma if there was the ladle for the Malo Tarvad Rekib. If you had the Malo Tarvad, if you had this kaf that was filled up with Rekev, so a person who was a Nazir would have to do a Taglachas Tuma if he touched it, carried it, or was in the same OL as that Tarvad Rekev. Now, what is this Rekev? Now, we'd said already that this is basically decomposed human body that is this Rekev, this dust. So, what is included in that? So, the Braisa adds on some additional definitions to what we learned previously. And the Braisa says that if the mace, the person Nebuch passed away, shenikbar orum, if he was buried without any clothing on, so then his decomposition would be pure mace, and therefore that would be the rekev that a person would become tummy from. And likewise, it has to be ba'oron shel shayis. He was put into an oron that was made of marble. Marble doesn't decompose. So in this situation, any dust, any decomposed dirt that would be there would be pure mace, and therefore could go towards this din of being metame with a malo tarvad rekev. And as well, if it wasn't in a marble type of an aron of a coffin, so it could be al gabe ritzpa shel avonim. If it was on pure stones, if the mace was put on pure stones, so the stones don't decompose as well, and therefore any dust that's there would be from the mace. However, this would be the definitions as El Mei Shiesh Lo Rekev. But if Nikbar Bichsuso, if he was in fact buried with clothing on, he was wearing Tachrichim, he was wearing other types of clothing, so then some of the decomposed dust that would be over here would be his decomposed clothing along with his decomposed body. And as Tosus points out, even if you guarantee that you definitely have enough of a shear of the decomposed body, nevertheless, if it's mixed in together, it by definition is no longer called Rekev and will not be Metame. Likewise, if the person was maybe buried Arum, but he was buried Ba'arun Shalates, it was in a wood coffin, so now the wood will also decompose, and some of the Rekev of the person's body will be mixed with some of the decomposed wood, and that also is not going to be this din of Malo Tarvas Rekev. Or, alternatively, or if he was buried, Al Gabi Ritzba Shalavanim, not stones, but bricks. Bricks also decompose as opposed to stones, which don't decompose. And therefore, the dust that will be here will be a combination of the Levanim dust, the brick dust, with the human decomposed dust. And therefore, all of these, Zel Mace She'en Lo Rekev. This mace would not have this special din of Melo Tarvad Rekev. So you really need all of these characteristics to be present to have Rekev. It has to be, there was no clothing mixed in, and he was buried either in an oron that was of marble, so it didn't decompose, or he was put on rocks, stones, that didn't decompose. So therefore, then you'd have pure corpse dust, and you'd have the pure Rekev of the mace, and then that would be metame. Otherwise, if it's mixed in with anything else, even though, as Tosus points out again, that there was more than enough of a shear of the Rekev there, nevertheless, that wouldn't be metame. Amar Ula, Ula adds another din, and he says, Ein Rekev elo habo min habosar umin hagidim umin atzomos. Another qualification of Rekev is that it has to come from a composition of human tissue that included the flesh, the basar, and gidim. Gidim is one of those words that doesn't have an easy translation. It basically means any long structure that goes from point A to point B. It's always translated as sinews, but sinews doesn't have a strict medical definition either. So it would be something like a tendon, it could be an artery, it could be a vein, it could be a nerve, something that goes from point A to point B. And min atzomos. And Ula says the third thing, it also has to have, atzomos has to have bone. Unless it has tissue from all these three types of categories, then even though you have tissue, human tissue, that is decomposed, that is not going to be the definition of rekev. That's what Ula said, and then we're questioning this. Asi Rav Lula, Rav questions Ula, he says, wait a second, there's a Braisa that seems to disagree with you. The Braisa, you're an Amori, you can't really go against the Braisa, and the Braisa says, Rekev habo min habosor tor. If you have Rekev that comes just implying from Basar, then it's tar. Implication being, ha min or etzim tame, that if it just came from bone, so then it would in fact be metame as rekiv. But you, Ula, just said, you need to have not only bone, you need to have Basar and Gidim as well. And this brisa seems to apply, the afal gaf, the lek basar, seems to apply only with bone, that it would be rekiv. So kash on you, Ula. So Ula would answer, emahachi. Ula would say, the brisa is talking about rekiv habom and habasar, that is tahar, ad sheyesh etzim habasar, until there was also bone present. So it wasn't saying that if it was etzim alone, it would be metame. It's saying that if you just had basar, it wouldn't be enough. You need to have basar and etzim. Obvious question. The word says, what about Gidim? Haleka Gidim. So you only have two of the three that Ula had said. So how can you tell me that it has Basar and Etzim, and that's going to make it Rekev? Ula had said you also need Gidim. So the word answers, the Efshol of Latzamos below Gidim. It's impossible to have Basar and Latzamos and also not have Gidim. So by definition, if you have Basar and you have the Latzamos, you will also have Gidim. So this Raisa doesn't go against what Ula said. Amar of Shmuel bar Abba, Amar of Yochanan, another din in Rekev, he tells us, Shnei Mesim Shekevaron, Ze Em Ze, Nasu, Gilin Ze Lo Ze. These two Mesim that are buried together also don't have the din of Rekev. It's interesting. Each one alone, if you had a shear, would in fact be Rekev, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, and even if they had a half a shear of each of them, they could combine to make the shear of Rekev. Nevertheless, if that's only true if the rekev was established separately from each one, and then if you combine them, then it's not this gilgalin. But this gilgalin, which is a word that's not clear what it means, a number of definitions are given over here in Tosus and the Rush, which we'll go through in a second, but it means a mixture. So if you have this mixture of a mace that is with another mace, so the rekev was never separate. The rekev came together. The both mesim decompose at the same time together. So then, shnei mesim shikavar and zem zep, they're buried together, and then their bodies decompose, and the rekev is mixed together milichatchila from the very beginning. So it's called nasu gilgalin zelazeh, and it wouldn't have this din of rekev. What exactly is this gilgalin? So if you look in the Tosus, di ramasu shnei mesim. So he says, Nasu Gilgalin Zelazeh. So he brings down Perikom Mepelis, Garcina Mucholasorm Gan Gilon. Not Gilgalin, but Gan Gilon. He brings down from the Oruch. No, the word is Gilgolin, but it means Ofar Hu Shem Urav Mimakom Acher. It's something that's mixed in with something else. Or Loshon Dover Hamitzgago, something that rolls together. I thought Lanias Dati, a Gilgal of Neshamos, is when you have a person who was in one generation and then died, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them back to this world. That's called a Gilgal. So it's a mixture of two different things. In any event, exactly what the root of this word Gilgalin is, so this is a mixture of two things. So the bottom line is, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba, in the name of Yochanan, tells us that if you have two bodies that decompose together, so then that mixture of their rekev is not going to have the halachic status of rekev. It won't be metame. Even though, as we'll see, if it was originally separate rekev from body one, decomposed and had rekev, and then you had rekev from body two that separately decomposed and had rekev, you could combine those two, and that's not gilgalin. That, in fact, would be a din of rekev. We'll see this in a moment. In any event, this statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, is questioned. Moshe Rav Nosson, he says, the Braisa tells us, Rekev of Omen Beis Mesim is Tomei. How can you tell me that Rekev that comes from Mason is not? You're an Amora. We have a Braisa that says that it is. So the answer is given by Rav. Omer Rav, Rav says, Shekarvu Zebifnei Atzmo, Zebifnei Atzmo, and then Vihirkivu. So the Bryce is talking about a different situation than what Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan has said, and this is what I alluded to. When you have a mace that died, and Nebuch, the body decomposes, and it becomes Rekev. Then you have another mace that died, and the body decomposed, and became Rekev. That's Shekarvu Zebif Neatzmo, the Karvu Zebif Neatzmo. So you have these two bodies that were separate, the Rekev was formed, and then you put them both together. The Omdu Ad Al-Malo Tarvad Rekev, and you combine them, then, even, as Tosus points out, if you took a half of the shear from one body and the half of the shear from the other body, since it has the shame of Rekev, the two half shearim can combine to make the full shear of Rekev. But, as Rav Shmuel bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan said, if they decompose together, so they never had the separate shame of Rekav upon each of them, so then when they combine together, that's called Gilgalin, and that would not be the din of Rekav. Gemara continues further and tells us, Amar Rabba bar Bar Chana Amar Rav Yochanan, another statement that was made in the name of Yochanan, this one by Rabba bar Bar Chana, he said, Gozas Saro, if you took the hair of the mace and you cut it, Ukvaru Imo, and then you put the hair that you cut in with the mace, so Nasalo Gilgalin. This will also not be Rekiv, because the hair that was cut is not something that would become Rekiv. If it had stayed attached to the body, then it would become Rekiv. But if you cut it, and then even though it's the same hair, and you put it into the grave, and it all disintegrates and decomposes, that would also be called Gilgalin. It would be a mixture, and it wouldn't be the din of Rekiv. That's what Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in Rav Yochanan. Where it says, we learned in another Mishnah, Tanan Hossam, this is a Mishnah Olos, it says, Kol Shebimeis Tomei, every part of a person's body, Nebuch, when they pass away, is going to be Tomei, with certain exceptions. Chutz, Menashinayim, the teeth aren't Metamei. That's why we have the Gemara in a number of places where Yochanan would carry around, it says a bone, but it really meant, according to many, the tooth. And you say, this is the tooth of my 10th son. Nebuch Yochanan lost 10 sons. So when he would comfort people who never went through tragedies, he said, I also went through tragedies. I know what you're going through. And he would carry around a bone, which was really the tooth from his 10th son. And that's why it wasn't Matami. So teeth aren't Matami. Chutz min hashinayim, v'haseyar, and hair, and v'hatziporin. And the nails, fingernails or toenails, all of them are not Matami. But that's only if they were cut off, if the tooth was removed from the body, if the hair was cut from the body, if the nails were clipped from the body, so then they are not metame. However, ubishas kiburin, but when they're still attached to the body, the teeth are in the mouth, the hair is on the head of the body, or the nails are part of the body, they're not cut, so then they are metame. Now, that's what the Mishnah always tells us. On this, boy Chizki had the following shaila. What happens if it was Saro ha'omed legalech? There was the guy needed a haircut, and he was going to have a haircut, but Nebuch, he died. Or Tziporin ha'omed legazes. He had long nails, he was going to clip his nails, but Nebuch, he died. My, what do we say in this situation? We have a famous rule. Do we say, mi amrinun kol ha'omed legazes ki gazuz domi? We have a rule that something that is about to be cut is considered as already cut, and therefore, in this situation, it would not be metame, because it would be a distinct and separate entity from the body. And therefore, if this body were to decompose, it wouldn't be Rekav, because it was a mixture, it would be a Gilgalin of two different things. Or do we say, no, El Dilma, right now it's not yet cut. Hashta Mia Ha Michubarim. Right now it's not detached from the body. Right now it's still attached to the body. It would have normally been detached from the body in a very short period of time, but right now it's not. And therefore, we don't apply this rule, Omei Ligaz, it's Kigazus Domi, in this regard. That was Chizki's question. Mor says, let's try to answer it from what Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan. V'nifshalei midi Rabba Bar Bar Chana, that which he said over the name of Yochanan. The reasoning there is Tamo Mishum Degozas. Rabba Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan that if the hair was cut, then it's not Rekiv. Implication being, Halo Gozas, if it wasn't cut, albeit it was Omeidli Gozes, lo, it would still be Rekiv. So clearly, we can learn from Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who said in the name of Yochanan, that Omeid Ligazes is not considered Kigazus Domi in this din and would make Rekem. So when it says Lav Dafka, you can't read in that Raya, because you could say, Hochi Kamar, what Rabba Bar Bachana was telling us in the name of Yochanan was Gazas, if it was cut, Hareza Gilgalin, then it definitely is Gilgalin. But if it was only Omeid Ligazes, he didn't make any statement. Lo Gazas mi boile. And therefore, the question the Chizki asks could even be applicable in that case. Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, was only specifically stating if it was Gozas. They didn't make any statement about Omeid Ligazes, and therefore you can't bring us a riot from there. Another question, this one is asked by Rav Yirmiyah. Boy, Rav Yirmiyah, have two questions from Rav Yirmiyah now. Rekev habo mino ekev mahu. If Rekev comes from the heel of a person, is that Rekev? Now, why would you think that it's not? So, the Rosh tells us in Dibra Maschil, Rekev min ha'ekev, and he says, Lefi sheyesh be'ikvo shel odom ove basar, she'ein bo chiyus. The person's heel is a lot of dead layers of tissue. So it's, so to say, already dead. So do we view this as a separate entity, and it will be Gilgalin with the rest of the mace or not? So Rekev Abba Mina Ekev Yerivim Yes Mahu. What's his halachic status? Do we say Kigamrinim Rekev Abba Mikulei Meis? Since Rekev normally comes from the entire body, and that includes the heel, so therefore it is considered Rekev. However, Avol Da'asi Mina Akev Lo. But if it comes from the heel, it is not, because it's already considered as if it was dead during the lifetime of the person. And therefore, if there's a mixture of rekev from the akev and the entire body, so it's not considered rekev, or do we say no, there is no difference, and the heel is considered part of the body, even though it's somewhat dead already while the person's alive, nevertheless, it's considered part of the body. So what it says, Toshma, I bring you a right from the following braisa. The Tani Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yoshaya. Rabbi Nosson was the son of Rabbi Yoshaya, taught the following braisa. He said, rekev habo mishnei meisim tome. If you have a body A that decomposed and made rekev, a body B that decomposed and made rekev, and then you took the exact half shear from body A and the exact shear from body B, and you put them together, so that is in fact tomei, tumas rekev. That's what we just learned a few moments ago. Now, here's the answer to Rav Yirmiyahu's question about the akev. He says, v'yisoka daitoch habo min ha'akev lo. If you wanted to say that if there's rekev that's mixed in over here with the body that comes from the akev, no. So then we'd have the exact shear from body A and half the shear, and the exact half the shear from body B. So that would include some of the akev. And what do we see? That in fact it's tummy. So therefore, zil hocha dilma derek akev kaasi. You'd have to say that some of this, of the half shear from body A and the half shear from body B, that's combining to make the full shear, and we allow that, we don't say that's gilgalin, that must include some of the akev corpse dust. And therefore, v'hocha dilma derech akev ka'asi, and therefore, obviously you see that even though you have some of the akev corpse dust, nevertheless, it is considered rekev when it's mixed in with its own body. So Gemara says, no. E de irkev kule meis. Because derech akev hochanami. Yeah, you're 100% right. If the entire body was there, otherwise you'd never have rekev because there's always some of the corpse dust from the heel mixed in. So when you have the entire body, so clearly then akev, nobody ever had a doubt that the corpse dust that comes from the akev is considered part of the body, and that's not going to be a problem of gilgalin for that one body. The question, however, that Rav Yirmiyahu asked was, elohacha gagon the irkev. Chad Aver. You just said, let's say, the leg was Nebuch amputated. So you have a lot of the leg, but you also have the Akev. And in that situation, because he derech Akev, there's a mixture now of the Akev and the rest. That was Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question. My and Teku. That we don't have an answer for. So it's the whole body. So then the Akev definitely is included in this din of Rekev. But if it's just part of the body, let's say an amputated leg or a cut off leg after the person had died Nebuch, and in that situation you have a mixture of the rest of the leg as well as the Akev. So there we don't have a clear decision. Is this Rekev or not? Teku. We leave this as an Ibaya, the law of Shitala as well. Rabbi Yirmiyahu has another question. By Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Ubar v'mei isha hevu gilgalin olo. What about if a woman was pregnant, the Nebuch, Rechmon al-Islam, the woman passes away, so she still has the unborn baby inside of her. The baby died with her, and both of them are buried, and now that decomposed, and you have a mixture over here of the mother and the baby that was Nebuch inside of her, so is that considered rekev, meaning it's coming from one person, or is that considered over here a mixture of the mother and the baby, and therefore it is considered gilgalin and would not be considered rekev? Now, what are we saying over here? Rav Yirmiyahu is asking, Kivan da amamar ubar yerechimo, do we say that since we hold one opinion that says ubar, the fetus inside the mother, is considered just like yerechimo, just like the thigh of the mother, and therefore there is no distinction between the baby inside the mother and the mother herself in terms of that's one entity, that's mother, and therefore, in fact, hilchach gufa hu v'lo heavy gilgalin. So the fetus inside of her is considered halachically ubar yerech imo. It's considered yerech imo, and therefore it is considered one person, and therefore there is a din of rekev. Or do we say Dilma? No. Kivan disofa latzis nebuch. This baby didn't come out, but normally a baby baruch Hashem comes out healthy and well, be'ezus Hashem. So therefore, it's considered a separate entity. Kivan disofa latzis, since it eventually normally does come out, so it's considered mifrash parish mina. It's considered even when it's in the mother as a separate entity, and therefore, if nebuch the mother died with the baby inside of her, it's considered as there were two mason nikbarim together, and that would be a din of gilgalin. So that's the question that Rav Yirmiyahu is asking. And even if you want to say, Ubar, the Sofa, Lot says, Mifrish Parish Mina, and if you wanted to answer this question and say, no, the Ubar is destined to come out, and therefore, the Ubar is considered a separate entity even while it's in the mother. So let's say you wanted to answer that way, so then Rabbi Yirmiyahu has a follow-up question. And we turn to Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and the follow-up would be, what about Shechva Zera B'mei Isha Mahu? If a woman had relations with her husband before she passed away, so inside of her, there is not only her body, but she also has Zera, she has the Zera from her husband inside of her. So is that considered a separate entity or not? So me, Amrin, and do we say, Kivan de lo itzar, this Zera inside of her hadn't yet become an ubar. She wasn't yet impregnated. This wasn't an embryo inside of her, and therefore this is considered part of her. It's her body right now, kigufa dami, and therefore there would be a din of rekiv. It's not considered two separate entities. Or do we say no? Odilma kivan de me alma kasi. It really isn't her. It came from her husband, and therefore it's not considered part of her guf. It's considered a separate entity, and therefore lo, it wouldn't be rekiv. There would be gilgalin over here. So this question is also not answered. Both Sadim, if you wish, Rav Yirmiyahu over here, in his second question, aren't answered as well. By Rav Papa. Now we have another question. Rav Papa asked the following, Pirsha Mahu, what about all of the feces, the excrement that's inside of her intestines? Nebuch, the woman passes away, or man passes away. So what is the status of the perish, the feces that are inside of her intestines or his intestines? Since a person has to eat, you can't live without eating. So therefore, this is considered life, so to say, for the person, and therefore it's considered one entity with the person. Or do we say, oh no, no, this is like the Zera, according to the question, that the Zera is considered a separate entity because it originated outside of the woman's body. So to over here, the food which is turned into the perish, that which is not absorbed by the intestines, stays in there as waste. So it may alma kasi, it came from the rest of the world, and therefore would in fact be gilgalin with her and wouldn't be allowed to make that called rekiv. Now, we have another question. Boy Ravacha, Brei the Ravika, Ravacha, who's the son of Ravika, asks, what about Oro? Oro Mahu? What about the skin of a person? Is that considered separate entity or not? So this is based upon a machlokas that we have elsewhere as to what is the status of skin. Does the skin metame like the basar of the mace or not? Now, the Mefarish over here in Dira Maskul, Boy Ravacha, has a whole different take on this. He says that this oro is the roke, is the saliva, hayotzi lo liyodam, shelo edi torach, that easily comes out without having to, like, really go and collect the saliva. Elakivin shima'aro lesoch piv, it's in your mouth, or grono, or in your throat, so yotze, it comes out on its own, so do we say mihabile gilgalin or not? That's the pshat that the Mefarish gives. But then he brings down, the Ista Mefarish, he then brings down the more standard pshat, and that is Oro or Ha'adam Mamish. It's talking about the skin, and this is, as I said, the simple understanding over here, that there's a machlokis as to what is the status of the Or. So if you say that the Or is normally not metame, so when it's attached here to the body, what would be that locha, Oro Mahu? And furthermore, by Rafuna Bar Manoah, another question. So we have over here the question about the perish, we have the question about the skin, and now we have the question about kicho the neo, which we explained previously. The kicho is the saliva, and the neo is like other mucusy-like secretions from the person's body. Are they considered a separate entity, and therefore would be gilgalin, or they're considered part of the body? Lord says, how would you have rekev then? Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Achle Rav Papa, Bisok Adaito Kolhani Dekomar, Heavy Gilgalin, so rekev de Mitame Heich Mikhazla. The obvious question that all of you are thinking, if you're telling me that the parish is going to not have the din of rekev because it's considered a separate entity, or the skin is considered a separate entity and there won't be a din of rekev, and if the saliva, the mucus, and other bodily secretions like that are not considered part of the body, they're considered a separate entity. So then, everybody dies with perish inside their intestine. Everybody dies with skin. Everybody dies with mucus and saliva and secretions like that. So how would you ever have the din of rekev if these questions were all answered that they don't, in fact, allow it to be rekev? So the Gemara says, no, according to this opinion, that these things would not make it rekev. They're considered something that is not part of the decomposed mace and it would be considered gilgalin. So how would you ever have a body that doesn't have these things? So dashkaye made the column. Before the person died, they were given some sort of a made the column, a palm water drink to drink before they died. The sachya nasha, as well as they put on some sort of a cream or depilatory agent to remove all the hair of the body. So this ashkaya made the column will remove all the perish. It's like a super duper enema laxative type of a process, like a person prepares for a colonoscopy, so they have to clear them out. So you drink this made the column and it clears you out so you have no perish inside of you. They go and remove all the hair in your body with some sort of a depilatory cream, and ushlaku b'meiteria, and then the person was had all of his skin removed by being put into the waters, hot waters of Tveria, b'meiteria, and that removed all of his skin as well. And in that situation, where you're just left with something that doesn't have kicho, neo, doesn't have or, and it doesn't have perish, so then you could have a din of rekev. Very unusual situation. Another din regarding rekev, Amar Abaye, Naktina. We have a Kabbalah. Naktina means we have a Mesorah. Mace shetechano ein lo rekev. If you grind up a mace, then there is no din of rekev. Rekev has to, so to say, be natural decomposition. So if you grind up the mace to make dust, so that would not constitute rekev as well. The Rosh seems to imply that this halacha Moshe B'Sinai, the Rosh Adiba Maskel, Meish Tichono, Ein Lerekev, says, the author Rikavon Gemire, this is the Gemire, this is the halacha Moshe B'Sinai that we have, that it has to be natural decomposition, velo offer Tichuna, and not ground up mace. So that leads to the following question, where it says, Ibadu, they ask in the base Medrash, Tichono, if you ground up the mace, however, it wasn't so finely ground up into dust, and then the Chazar V'Hirkiv, Mahu. It then decomposed on its own. The last part was decomposition. Mahu, is that considered rekev or not? Do we say midi hu taima? The din is elo deika basar vegidim v'atzamos v'ha'ika. Do we say that in order to be rekev, there has to be pieces or components of basar, gidim, and atzamos, and there is over here, even though it was somewhat ground up, there still is basar, gidim, and atzamos over here, and therefore this would be rekev? Or do we say odilma? Kibriyaso binam, they have to be in their natural state when they decompose the leka. And here they were already ground up, so they're not in the natural state. So it's not considered rekev. And the Gemara leaves this as well with anybody the lov shitale, teku. We leave this also with a teku. Almost all of the questions we've had here have been left with an unanswered question. Then we have another one. Tani Ula bar Chanina. Ula, the son of Chanina, said the following. What about Mace Shechoser? If you have a person, Nebuch, that passed away, but the body isn't complete. It's missing a leg. It's missing some part of the body. So Ula bar Chanina said, Ein lo rekev. In this situation, the halacha Moshe B'Sinai was, it has to be a Mace Sholem. If it's a Mace Shechoser, there is no din of rekev. Likewise, there's another din of Tfusa. That wouldn't apply over here. Velo Tfusa. When Nebuch, a person is buried, and you want to then rebury them someplace else, so their body decomposed into the surrounding ground, so you have to take that surrounding ground with you as well. When you move the maze from the temporary kever that it was buried in to, let's say, the family plot, or you move to Eretz Yisrael, whatever the situation may be, so you have to take the surrounding dirt down to a depth of 3 etzbos, there's concern that some of the body decomposed into that area, so you take all the surrounding dirt with you. That's called the din of tfusa. So when you have somebody that didn't have the din of rekev because, for example, it was a meisha chaser, so there is no requirement to go and take that surrounding dirt as well. Velo tfusa, that din doesn't apply. And likewise, velo shchunas kivaros. What is this din? So the din is, if you find a single isolated body in a field, so you don't assume that this is a cemetery and you just have the surrounding area around it, there could be metame somebody, so you demarcate that. Then you find another body. Well, it may or may not be now a cemetery, the whole area would be a concern. But when you find the third body, so then you have to assume that this is a cemetery, and all the dinim of this area is defining it as a cemetery in terms of how far you have to distance from this in order not to be metame would apply. But if one of these three bodies was a chaser, so then this din of shchunas kivaros would not apply as well. All of these seem to be halacha Moshe Misinai. So this statement of Ula bar Chanina says that the mace who's chaser, for our purposes over here, we're interested in the din of rekev, it doesn't have the din of rekev. But this is questioned. The Gemara says, wait a second, mesvei, we have a problem. There's a Mishnah in Edios. Now, the complete Mishnah in Edios, you can see in Tosos, the Ramaschu mesvei. And he says, lo, im amris b'mesu chulei. So that's what our Gemara says over here, lo imamis b'meis, but let's see what the Mishnah in Edios really says. We'll see it here in Tosus, Dibur Masul Meisei. So Besechse Edios, Perek Bav Mishnah Gimel, it teaches us the Etnan law, the Efligu al Kizayis Basar, HaPorish Mino Eiver Min Hachai, there's a machlokas there, what's the status of Basar that comes from an Eiver Min Hachai? The Ika, there is one opinion, Laman de Matar. There's one opinion that says that it's not Matame. Vika Laman de Matame. There's one opinion that says the Eiver Min Hachai is Matame. And in regards to that machlokis, the Yolif law mi besar haporish mi evin ames, they wanted to try to figure out what's the status of evin min achai. Is it tar or is it not tar? They wanted to learn it out from evin min ames, and that's what our Gemara is now going to be discussing. Umosiv, our Gemara tries to resolve that by saying lo im amris, and Tosfos Zagirsa be evin min ames Shekein b'meis yesh bo kama chumros. A meis has several additional chumros that a aver min achai doesn't have. So therefore, don't compare aver min achai to aver min meis. What are some of those chumros? So back to our Gemara, sheyesh lo rov. There is a din of rov of the bones. They're metame if you have 125 of the 248 bones. So you have the majority of the bones. Or you have virova, or you have a rova kav of bones that come from either rov minyano or rov binyano, or omulo tarvad rekev, or you have the shear of rekev. Now that's true by a mace. So tomar b'chai, can you tell me that same din by evi min achai? She'en lo, lo rov, v'lo rova, v'lo milo tarvad rekev. So therefore, what this mission in Adios is coming to answer is don't compare Aver min Ameis with Aver min Achai, because Aver min Ameis has stringencies that Aver min Achai doesn't have. So don't try to resolve this din of what is the status of Aver min Achai from Aver min Ameis, because the two can't be compared. Now, that's what the Mishnah says. But this seems to go against what Ula just taught us. Ula bar Chanina just taught us that Ameis Shechaser ain l'rekev. This mace that was missing part of its body doesn't have a din of rekev. Now, Hechidami, this Mishnah in Adios, the Gemara says, is a kasha nula. What are we talking about over here? The Irkov Chad Aver, we're talking about a single limb. We're talking about, you can't compare Aver min Achai to this single limb of Aver min Ameis, because we said that it, in fact, does have a din of Melo Tarvat Rekev, and Aver min Achai does not. Now, the Kavasi Gabi Meis, Afilu Chad Aver, Ika Rekev. So you clearly see that even a single limb does have the din of Rekev. So how can Ula Bar Chanina say that even if it's missing just one limb, it's not Rekev? He sees that if it's just the limb alone, then it is a din of Rekev. So he says, no, you're misreading this Mishnah in Edios. The Mishnah in Edios says, Lo, Imarmis B'meis, doesn't mean Aver Min Hameis. It means that there is some type of a meis. Miktanei Ha Meis, it doesn't mean that this Aver min hameis is going to be Rekev. It's saying that since from a meis there is a concept of Rekev, when? If it's a meis sholem. So you can't compare that to an Aver min achai, shum chai, because under no circumstances does a chai ever have a din of Rekev. Shum chai ain lo Rekev. So therefore, this Mishnah in Edios is not a kasha on Ula bar Chanina. Again, we try to slug that up. Boy, Rava. Rava says, Hirkiv Shigul Chai, if you have a maze that Nebuch decomposed while it was alive. Now, what does this mean? You have either, according to some, it means that you had a limb that fell off, so you had an amputation, or you have something like a gangrenous limb that hasn't fallen off, but is Nebuch withered. So either way, you have Hirkiv Shigul Chai, you have a Aver Min Achai that is decomposing, Hirkiv Shigul Chai, and then the person subsequently dies, v'chazer u'meis, and this limb that was already decomposing while the guy was alive, either it was an amputation or it was like a gangrenous limb that was already decomposing while it was attached to him, and this now becomes mixed with the rest of the body, and it all is decomposing. Do you have rekev or not? Bahu. What's the halacha? Does this now constitute rekev or not? So do we say, ki gemirei rekev, the irkev shumeis? Rekev, by definition, has to be when a person is dead. And here, some of this Rekev came from a person that was alive, from the Aver min Achai. And therefore, it would not be Rekev. Or Dilmor, or do we say, no, Hashta Mia Hamais, right now, everybody's dead. The whole thing is dead. This limb that was attached to the person, or even if the limb was detached, it is now from a dead person, and therefore, it is considered Rekev. So that's the question that Rava asks. And the Gemara wants to also answer this from this Mishnah in Adios, with the same exact question and answer that we gave before. So, lo, the Mishnah in Edios had said, "Im amris b'meis sheyesh lo rov v'rova umlo tarvad rekev, tomar b'chai v'chule." And we go back to what we just said: "Tomar b'chai shein lo rov lo rova v'lo umlo tarvad rekev." So the Mishnah in Edios tried to answer the question about Aver min hachai from Aver min hameis, and we said, "No, you can't, because Aver min hameis has different dinim." So clearly, that Mishnah seems to go and answer Rava's question to say that as long as the person was dead, there is a din of rekev to even Aver min hameis. So the Gemara says, no, miktanei ha meis, same terrors we gave a minute ago. It didn't say over there, lo imamris b'meis. It doesn't mean that you have to have Aver min hameis. It meant, hokam ashvalon, dishum meis eishel rekev, that under certain situations, when you have a male, when you have a full body, so then there is a din of rekev. But lav davka, that every Eiver min hameis is going to make rekev. But shum chai in l'rekev, but under no circumstances you ever have an Eiver from a chai that is going to make rekev. So again, we can't use this to answer Rava's question. There's no clear answer. Another question that Rava asked, by Rava, nimala shechasra mahu. If you have an ant, which is an entire entity, which if you eat an entire ant, you'd be over the terrible lav of eating shkatzim. So in this situation, if the nimala was missing a limb, it was missing one of its legs, what would be the halacha? Would you get malchus if you did this intentionally or not? Does it have to be an entire nimala? Or if it's missing a limb, it would also still be considered something you get malchus for. Do we say shiura gemirilon? Do we say the shiurim are halach lemoshe misinai? These shiurim for all these things are given to us by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this namala is missing a limb, and therefore v'hachasi, it doesn't make the shiur, and you wouldn't get malchus for it. Of course, it's also to eat, but you wouldn't get malchus for it because it's pachus mikashir. Or do we say no, obirio gemirilon? Or do we say no, the shiur is an ant, and this is an ant, albeit it's missing a limb, it's still called an ant, va'ika, and this would be a chiyav of malchus if the person ate this intentionally with hasra. And we turn to Nun Beza with Aleph to give us the answer. Amar Rav Yehuda mi diskarta, Rav Yehuda, who comes from diskarta, this is as opposed to the regular Rav Yehuda that we have throughout Shas, the Talmud of Rav, the Talmud of Shmuel, and he said, Toshma, the following brisa will answer our question. Now, first, we have to know two psukim over here that this brisa is based upon, and they're in our upcoming laning that we'll have before Pesach in Parsha Shemini, where it tells us the first pasuk, Eilat meim luchem b'chol asheretz. These are the shvots, the shrotzim, the shmona shrotzim that are metami. If you touch them, kol ogei abayim b'mosam. If you touch them when they're dead, yitmar arv. A person touches one of the shmona shrotzim, so he becomes tamei tumas shrotzim. He is tamei until he goes to the mikvah, then he has a tuol yom, and then at nightfall, he's no longer tamei from tumas sheretz. But then the next pasuk says, b'chol asher yipol olav mehem b'mosam yitmar. If something falls upon you from them, so here you have the word mehem. In the first pasuk, we have the word kol ogei bohem. So we have two words over here, bohem and mehem. And that's what the brisa is going to discuss. Toshma. We start off over here with the following brisa, bohem. The first pasuk tells us, kol ogei bohem. Yocho bekulon. I would say that you have to touch the entire sheretz. It has to be a sheretz mali. Tamalom. And the second pasuk says, no, mehem. Kol ashe yipol olav mehem. From some of them. So, mehem, if you only have the word mehem, yochol miktsasan, I would think that you can even become tamei by touching part of them. So tam v'lomer, bohem, that means you have to touch the entire sheretz. So which one is it? You have bohem implying the entire sheretz, mehem implying part of the sheretz, so what's the deal? Haketzah, they seem to be contradictory to each other. So the Braisa says, ad sheyegia b'miktsasan shehu kichulan. The only time you're going to be tamei, if you touch miktsasan, mehem is if it's something that is like kikulan. And what is that? V'shiyaru chachomim b'cha'adasha. Shekein hachomet tchilas b'riyoso b'cha'adasha. When it says mehem, it means that if you touch something that in other situations, like by the chomet, one of the shmona shratzim, is considered an entire entity, the size of a chadasha for the chomet, that's considered an entire entity at the beginning of its life. That's how big it is. So therefore, this size of a chadasha, like the bean of a lentil, so then that is the shear, even if it's now much bigger. If you're dealing with a sheretz, it's much bigger than a chadasha, but as long as you touched a chadasha's worth of that sheretz, it is going to be metamiyu. So the word bohem teaches us that it had to have been a full size at one point, which is the shear of a chadasha. But now, as long as you're touching mehem from part of a larger sheretz, and you're touching an adasha's worth, it's going to be metamiyu. And this is Shema Minah, Shiura Gemirilah. This is Halach L'Moshe Misinai that we learn this out. So that's how you reconcile over here. It has to be the size of a chadasha, but it's not a full birya, it's not the full entity, and therefore you clearly see the answer to the question that Rav had asked. Nimala shechas ramahu, you clearly see that it doesn't have to be completed. As long as it's an adasha, even though it's not complete, it is metameh. Oh, asked and answered. But the Gemara says no. Amar Rav Shmaya, you can't bring us a right from there. Because the shir, halach l'moshe misin, I have a chadasha, ki bo'inon shiura, is the bidalo havya kadasha lo metame. That's to teach us that if it never had the size of a chadasha, then it's not metame. The lo naflo bo neshama, because you need at least the size of an adasha in order to have, so to say, life to it, to have a neshama to it. However, once it does have the neshama, avol nof labo neshama, so if you have the ant that has a neshama, so to say, it has life to it, and then you have it less, chasra, avol nof labo neshama, once it has the status, then lo, then you don't need to still have the entire entity there, and therefore we're left still with our question that Ravid asked, nemar lo shechasra mahu tibay alach. It's again, this is a lashon that another example of the somewhat strange lashonas we have in Nedarim and in Nazir. This is instead of the word teku, tibay alach. We had this many times already, so we don't answer this question as well. And this is another ibay lo shitalei, and this concludes today's shir.